So did you all memorize the verse? It starts with... How many of you memorized that sometime? At confirmation, you did? Or I learned it when I was in probably fourth grade, fifth grade, somewhere in there. And we always learned John 3:16, but maybe not the next verse. See, whether it was in church or Sunday school or Bible club or a sign in the end zone, how many of you seen the sign in the end zone? The one that says John 3:16, not the one that says Austin 3:16, which is still a little dated. Have you ever seen Austin 3:16 in the end zone? Yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin was a wrestler back. It's probably only been about 10 or 12 years that the signs showed up in the end zone there. But you've probably heard of, or maybe, as many of you raise your hand, memorized John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So how many of you have memorized the next verse? One, yeah. Did I see another? A couple hands there. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And those two are piggybacking, right, on each other. So, God's desire is that the world will be saved. It says so right there. So, big question. If that doesn't happen, does that mean that God fails? If God wants it, and it doesn't happen, does that mean God is out of luck? God fails? And if God never fails, because we've heard that before, then doesn't the world being saved have to happen? Well, the two kind of go together. I'm not quite using circular reasoning, but I'm asking questions that we need to ask as the church. We need to ask as people of faith. And that leads to the next question. What if someone doesn't believe? If God desires that the whole world is saved, and God doesn't fail, doesn't that mean the whole world is saved? But what if someone doesn't believe? Because the next verse that we didn't read, verse 18, says this. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So more questions. How can God want the whole world to be saved, never fail, and then fail because the ones who don't believe are condemned? No answer, just a question. I'm convinced that God gets what God wants. And God wants the world to be saved. But this bit in the verse that we didn't read, and there's a reason why the lectionary stops at 17 and not go into 18, because it's uncomfortable, but it's there. This bit about believing, it's still there. And it's a point of contention among Bible studiers, Bible scholars. See, belief in, it means something more than simply acknowledging something as a fact. Understanding belief as a requirement puts the ability, though, to be saved on us and not on God. It means that God can't unless we do. So if we don't believe, it can't be done. And it bothers me that we can take something as wonderful as God's saving grace and make it into a you're in and you're out scenario. But consider this. If the intended audience for this verse, the Pharisees, and by extension today, because Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and I think by extension, the Pharisees, and then the Pharisees really are, we give them a bad rap, but the Pharisees were the church folk of the day, the church leaders of the day. So anyone who's on consistory, you're a Pharisee, right? Anyone who's a preacher, you're a Pharisee. If that's the intended audience, and I think that it is, if they hear it as I think Jesus intended by the context of the whole story, I think we would hear something like this. If you're trusting in the rules and the religious shows and looking for miracles to prove that you're doing it right, then you've completely missed the point. It's not about all of that. It's about God, who loves you and who is here to set you free. And, or, belief in God is something that grows. It's a journey that somehow begins with the question of, what is all of this? And continues throughout our lives. A great example comes from the man who had a son with epilepsy. And Jesus said to the man, all things can be done for the one who believes. And the father cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. So the action is on Jesus. It's not the father. God leads us on the journey of faith. It's a way to look at it. However, some might be really bothered by the idea that God has done it and they get it whether they've asked for it or not. One side might be bothered because that's not fair. I did everything right and someone else gets it even though they haven't done everything right. Another side may be bothered because they want to be the one in control of their lives because they have felt controlled. Or maybe they've been abused or lived in abusive situations where they felt voiceless and powerless. And I don't have a good answer for that situation. But instead, I offer these words that sort of echo what Jesus said to his disciples. Jesus knows how precious you are and welcomes you to a life of freedom instead of a life of bondage. So Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who came to Jesus because he wanted to understand. He wanted to continue his faith journey. He got more than he bargained for. And Nicodemus didn't come out in the open. The Pharisees had to follow all the rules, and Jesus had said some stuff, so Nicodemus snuck out and found Jesus by night. Really, because he was uncomfortable asking the question in public. He thought he'd be ridiculed. Sometimes that happens on our faith journey. We can't ask a question because we feel like everyone's going to look at us and go, oh, how could you ask that question? By the way, high schoolers, never think that. Ask the question. Keep asking the question. Nicodemus brought up this whole, how can a person be born more than once question. And Jesus didn't have too much trouble with that one. He just said, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it in a revitalizing, renewing, renovating way. There's more questions that come from this passage. One of them is not the biological, how can you be born twice, or born from above, or born anew. Nicodemus got more than he bargained for with what Jesus said after. He said, God loves you. God sent me. God wants to save everyone. Those are the biggies. The question, I brought questions up before, but what does it bring us to? Because when we're learning, when we're on our journey, we like to have these points where we feel like we've made something. Unfortunately, our faith journey isn't always like that. It's, you know, one question leads to more questions, which leads to more questions, which leads to more questions. But maybe we can think about these. God doesn't fail. God saves. God leads us on our faith journey. Jesus came to set us free. All of those things, God is the one who does the doing. Does the doing? God, Jesus. They're the ones that have the action. We can't explain how God's Spirit works in our lives, but it does work. So what if we don't have it figured out? That's kind of our job, not to have it figured out. But we still need to ask. We still need to study. We still need to grow. God renews. God revitalizes. God renovates. Have you ever seen renovations happen? What happens? When you take a balcony and you want to put a floor on there, That's pretty much taking what's there and putting something on top and refreshing it, revitalizing it. If we were renovating the balcony would come out. The whole thing would be gone and rebuilt from scratch. God is the author of this renovation in our lives, where sometimes it gets torn down and then built back up. And it's all about more than what we can see. God's will for us is so much deeper than that. So living and journeying through life and faith with those kinds of ideas about God doing the doing, us not understanding, but us being on this journey, they can be dangerous in one way because we're asking so many questions and it feels like we never get any answers. Because there's a lot of I don't know when you're sure that you don't know. Back to sophomores, don't know that they don't know. Know that they don't know. There we go. We should live our lives as sophomores, knowing that we don't know. When we know that we don't know, there's a lot of giving folks a break because we're trusting that God is the author of the renewal, of the revitalization, of the renovation that's going on in each of our lives. It's also dangerous because there's an awful lot of what is God going to get me into going on? Those kinds of questions that are going to lead us individually and lead us as a congregation, as this community of faith, to do things that we never thought possible. Good news is that we don't have to let that kind of danger or fear stop us from taking a step. You've seen the picture or you've heard the words that you don't need to see the whole staircase to take the first step. We don't. And faith is taking that first step when you can't see the rest of the staircase. Nicodemus stepped up when he didn't know all the answers. One of the Pharisees who thought that he didn't. I love that. So we can do like that. We can keep asking God to guide us on our faith journey. Whether or not it's uncomfortable, whether or not it's dangerous, or even if we feel like people around us aren't going to respect the questions, or maybe we'll say things that, you know, how dare you ask that question? There aren't any how dare you questions. We don't have to let that kind of danger or fear stop us, even if we feel like we have to come to Jesus by night. Amen.